Just have one question. Are you ready to have your mind blown? Pull down your pants, whip it out, put your feet on the table, relax, and get ready for your brain to be massaged into climactic explosion. Whether your brain is a penis, a vagina, a combination of both, neither, or anywhere in between, we don't discriminate here. We're gonna get you there. This is the Audio Development Journal, number X. We're gonna build upon the journal from yesterday. Hasn't been posted yet. I'll probably post these two together. We're gonna build upon it. We're gonna add some new concepts. And I think this one's gonna be a big one. I think it's gonna be called patching your own hack and the four different types of dimes. So, patching your own hack, right? Let's first off re-summarize a few of the points we covered in the last one that are relevant to this one. First off, we described the realization that the block size limit on data was kind of misthought of. It was the point was to increase the frequency of blocks in order to increase the frequency of issuance of clout. It wasn't a limit put in place, or, you know, the contemplation of putting it in place because there's too much data in blocks. Quite the contrary, all the data is just text. It's just the messages and the signatures in text form, and all the blocks are kilobytes, which is totally fine. So the point was, in order to more efficiently address the need here, we re-envisioned, we're reimagining the block size limit. It's not going to be a block size data limit. What if instead it was a block time limit? Okay, so let's describe this. Again, the idea is to increase the frequency of blocks because you need to give people an opportunity to mine your clout. Further, without any limit, and even with a limit, a block size data limit, it was very arbitrary to know when blocks would be published, you know, as someone who wants to mine your clout. And even with the block size data limit, you could kind of see, oh, they're getting close to it, but it wasn't exact enough. This is perfect, okay? All right, let's describe the block time limit, okay? You are going to have a time limit, which is an interval of time based on the number of Bitcoin blocks that have passed since your last published block. So, that number, call it X, or let's give an example. Let's say we're going to set the limit at 100 blocks, which it could actually be something like that. I kind of am thinking I want it to come out to incentivizing you publishing a block almost every day. But so, let's say your block time limit is 100 Bitcoin blocks. So that is based off when you last published your last block. When you publish a TSM block, you have to establish the time, so that is very exact. Every published block has a time established upon being published. So, if the block time limit is 100 blocks, you take the time of the last block published, and you are publishing content in your blocks until you see, oh, I'm going to publish a TSN reference in my block, and in doing so, one of the requisites is obviously I have to establish the time in this TSN reference, and I realize, oh, it's been 100 blocks since my last block was published. So you realize you have to, you cannot publish that reference in your block because there is a block time limit. So you must first publish your current block and then do that reference in the next block instead. If you are to publish that reference and 100 blocks have passed, you are breaking the rules of the protocol. So this is much better because now, as long as you're publishing content, you're going to be pumping out blocks, and it's going to be happening basically every 100 Bitcoin blocks. Obviously, if you get hit by a bus and you stop publishing content, no more blocks, that's fine. But it doesn't matter how much data is in the blocks. Again, it's all text data. It's going to be small. By instituting a Bitcoin block time limit on blocks, you are making a set interval for publishing your TSN blocks. So that's the first order of business. I think that's a huge concept, and I think that's going to be a huge building block for mining and clout, because that was one of the things we wanted to figure out was, you know, how do you get your clout supply out there? So next order of business, your block publishing server is also your point blockchain server. That is where your blockchain is stored. If something happens to your block publishing server, you have to open up an account on a new block publishing server, and in order to publish blocks, you have to re-upload your full blockchain to that new server. Similarly, in order for other people to mine your blocks, they have to get up to date. You don't start mining from someone's most current block. You start from the first block, from their Genesis block, and you build your way up until you're synced, so to speak. The difference between that and a Bitcoin miner has to sync up their node, and they're not getting credit for mining. They have to sync up their node in order to hopefully successfully mine a block to the Bitcoin blockchain. The difference here, if you are mining someone's TSN blockchain, you are getting credit from block one all the way up until the current block, and then moving forward, continuously getting credit as you continue to mine their blocks. And so you see, everyone who is mining your blockchain is, you know, creating redundancy in the amount of places your blockchain is being stored, okay? Now, so that was the summary part. Let's get to patching my own hack. What I spoke about with this potential theoretical, and that's basically what it was, silly type of how, way in which the TSN could be broken, so to speak, how I was trying to figure out how I could break it myself. And you think of this kind of silly scenario where you can't go forward in time because there's occurrence proofs, right? You need to be establishing the time in your references and in your blocks throughout, so you can't go forward, but you could theoretically go back in time, say 5 years in the example I had given, and sort of recreate, you know, in current time, pretend you created a blockchain 5 years ago because you have all the data about those Bitcoin and Litecoin blocks 5 years ago. And again, sorry, this is kind of silly because there's not much of an incentive to do so. I was saying, I suppose you could create like fake predictions to make yourself look cool and say, look, I predicted this thing that was going to happen. I don't know. Kind of silly. And further, you could do this type of stuff with regular social media to try and like swindle people or whatever it is. So it's like, what are we really trying to prevent? But again, I like to think outside the box and try and break my own things. So in this silly theoretical scenario, you can't really do it. Or I should say, the thing that prevents its effectiveness is a major aspect of the Truth Social Network, which is the observer. So the observer is seeing you create these references and these blocks. If you're not publishing these signatures to your valid through your valid account on your block publishing server, which is established through the accounts directory, it's not valid. There's the audience and the observer who is witnessing this happen in real time. So you'd have to discount. So the point is, that's what prevents it. But thinking about it deeply and as, you know, trying to hack my own concepts, if you want to get pedantic about it, you could say, well, what's your proof that people observed you doing it? And you could recreate this fake record 5 years back in time and say, well, everyone saw it. You know, saw me doing it from this server, and so you could claim that, and even if no one really saw it, it's like, how could you prove that they didn't, right? So, which, again, there's not much incentive to even do this, so it's kind of silly. With that said, this type of thinking is great, because it actually led me to think of a patch to this, which is pretty fucking cool. And also, you know, a lot of the actualies in this space, you know, in the cryptography, cryptocurrency space, are pretty much comprised of actualies. So, and I'm, you know, I like to please the actualies, so I'm you know, that type of guy. So I thought of a patch which might actually please them, right? In this silly theoretical scenario, that even mitigates this fake claim that an audience saw you publishing all this content 5 years ago. And it's really kind of cool. So, as you might know, data can be embedded in the Bitcoin blockchain. It has a cost, and doing this frequently is not feasible. It costs way too much money. On the other hand, doing one message, right, in the blockchain is the cost of a transaction fee. And if it's enough to embed in one transaction, it's not a complex transaction, thus not a lot of bytes in that transaction, thus not expensive. So for the cost of one transaction, and, you know, can you fit the whole account? So here's the deal. This is brilliant. You could embed only, at first I was thinking all of the accounts, TSN references, but so you can embed a TSN reference in the Bitcoin blockchain, whether that's the actual message or even just the signature of the message would be enough. So that's the cost of one Bitcoin transaction. So what if your accounts opening in your block publishing server account, right? Account TSN reference. That's one TSN reference which opens your block publishing server. What if that was a requirement of the protocol that you embedded only that message in the Bitcoin blockchain? So that message would be immutable. So think about that. to start off your Genesis block, you are embedding it immutably in the Bitcoin blockchain or the Litecoin blockchain, whichever you wanted to do. And you know, Litecoin blockchain is probably cheaper, at least for now. And so you'd have the immutability of that one message, which anchors, literally anchors you immutably in time. And then once you've done that, you've transformed that account, because now it's patched for even that silly theoretical exploit. So that's kind of fucking cool. So maybe that's going to be a requirement. And first I was thinking any account, you know, any TSN reference opening or closing account, anything within that directory could be immutably embedded. But really, if you're embedding the opening of your BPS, that makes that account immutably anchored in time. So then, do you even really need to do the other accounts, embed the other accounts? Because if you know your block publishing server is anchored immutably in time, then that makes it special to you know, do the rest, because the rest are successively building upon that anchor, right? So you really probably would only need that one message. So that might be a requirement to embed your opening TSN account reference for your block publishing server in the actual Bitcoin blockchain. And big deal, it costs one transaction fee. And, you know, it's also kind of like an anti-spam measure. Now, I'm learning, you know, there's other costs anyway in making these accounts. You need to have a fucking server, costs money. You need to be making this content, costs time and all that. Obviously, you could just make a bunch of blank content, but to what? Again, this all comes down to incentives, like for what reward? Who's going to mine your cloud if you're just putting out bullshit content? But we're getting off track. It is an anti-spam measure, actually. It happens to fulfill that purpose as well. And it patches this silly theoretical exploit. So that's fucking cool, I think. And so that might be a requirement of the protocol going forward. You anchor your opening TSN account reference for your BPS in the actual Bitcoin blockchain. Cool fucking beans. All right, now, four types of dimes. This is the other big topic of the day. So far, there's really only been three types of dimes that I've shown. There's gonna be four. And so you have your regular plain Jane dime that everyone knows, okay? And excuse me, you've only seen two so far. There's going to be four. You've only seen two. You've got your plain Jane dime, which you've seen. And then you've got your re-dime with a comment, right? So both of those you've seen. Both of those are TSN references. They use all three aspects of signing. Now, here's where things get interesting. The third type is going to be re-dimes, right? Redimes are only going to use one out of three aspects. You're literally just going to post their dime, someone else's dime, in your dime line, right? If you want to call it a dime line, your dimes directory, which has all your dimes being updated in real time. And so you're just going to post. You're not going to sign it. I mean, you could do that, but I think that's unnecessary because you have that one out of three. Now, so that's not going to be in your block, and it's not going to have a signature either. It's just going to be, and if you've realized, we've been doing pictures of the actual messages which link to the TSN reference, right? So you could literally just have a picture of their dime on your dime line, and it'll link to their TSN reference on their own block publishing server, right? And I don't think you'd need to have that in your own blocks. Why take up space? And The only thing is that would be a client script in and of itself, because you would want to be keeping track of how many redimes you get. So when someone redimes your dime, the client would sort of tally that, and I guess it would ping their client to let them know that, you know, as a notification, and so they could tally, you know, everyone who redimes their dime and gets a tally. So that's kind of cool. This one is really fucking cool. So the fourth type of dime is reply to a dime, or dime replies, right? Up until now, we haven't had this. It wasn't because I didn't think of it. It was because it's kind of silly. So what's the deal? Look at Twitter and or anything like that, all these copycats. The actual conceptual code behind the concept of differentiating between rediming with a comment, right, and replying to a dime is really the same. You're referencing a dime, and with those old platforms, they have their own, you know, links for referencing things, and with us, we're literally using the cryptography of digital signatures. So you're, when you reference someone, you're referencing their TSN signature. So nonetheless, when you are rediming with a comment, you're including a reference, a TSN reference, in your message, and that links to their TSN reference, right? I guess what I'm trying to say is, conceptually, even if you were going to reply to it, the conceptual code is the same. Now, what you see on these platforms like Twitter and others is the display is different. But in theory, if you really think about it, whether you're retweeting with a comment or you're replying to a tweet, you're just talking about a specifically identified tweet, if that makes any sense. So I hadn't differentiated between the two, but you could do such a thing. And here's where it gets interesting, right? And this is why, as I said before, it could be a fucking good thing that this malleability of signature pages exists, because we could use that to our advantage. And so without even contemplating this use case, when I said that, now it sort of clicks. So check this out. You could have a reply to a dime function, right? Or a fourth type of dime, which uses 2 out of 3 signing, and it's displayed on the signature page, okay? And this is fucking cool. It's almost like a channel that's going to be continually updated. Okay, so 2 out of 3. You're going to be referencing, the original dime is a TSN reference. That's including your block. But then you're going to be using 2 out of 3 for dime replies. You're going to be using a digital signature, and you're going to be doing it on a valid account, or on a block publishing server, I should say. Literally on a signature page, and they're going to have their own thread page, so to speak, which is going to be continuously updated by both of you, and the state is going to be continuously updated by continuing to build on it with these signatures. Now, since they're using 2 out of 3 signing, these are not going to be in a block, because I don't think you need that. Why waste the space? Not that that's that big of a deal, but this is a clever workaround, because now you have 2 out of 3 signing. So here's the way it's going to work. It's almost like, sort of, kind of, maybe, in a way, like a lightning channel, but with these signed messages. Except I don't know if at the end they're published, right? These could just go on. They could be published, but they wouldn't have to be. These could just go on, you know, as long as need be, as long as people feel like replying to each other, and you don't need to waste block space on them because of this continual state updating mechanism. Now, this is cool. So you have your dime, which is a TSN reference. I'm BTC Joe. I just made a dime. Now, LTC Joe wants to reply to my dime. So maybe he has like a dimes and replies, you know, separate dime line, right, in his dimes directory that shows this, because these are not, this is not going to be in a block. It's going to use 2 of 3 signing. So he's going to go on his dimes and replies dime line, right? And he's going to reply to my dime the same way he would if he was re-diming with a comment, except the difference is this is a reply, so it's not an official TSN reference, and it's not going in his block. It's only using 2 out of 3 aspects. It is going to have the signature to his original dime in the message and the link to it, but the and he's going to produce his own digital signature of the message that's replying to it. So he'll have his own unique fingerprint of the reply, but it's just going to be on its own thread page, so to speak, right? That's going to have, and he's going to display my dime, right? And then it's going to, and then he's going to, in this thread page, he's going to have his reply to my dime, which also has the signature of mine in it, and it has its own unique signature that is produced from replying to mine. Now, this could be a client script as well that pings me of a notification that he did so. But again, it's not an official reference, so it's not taking up space. And even as of now, I'm following him, so I will see it on his dimes and replies page. So now what happens is he's replied to mine. I, on my own server, have no record of it, and that's okay. But I will see that he replied to it. But so say there's going to be, say I want to reply to his reply, and I want to make a huge thread of back and forth, or we both do because we have something really interesting we want to talk about. So I have my own dimes and replies, separate dime line, right, on my dimes directory. So I am going to update the state of this thread channel, right, by creating my own thread page, which is basically the same as his, but I'm going to add, so my thread page will have the original dime, it'll have his reply, which is not a TSN reference, and then I'm going to reply to his reply, which will be a digital signature. It's going to use 2 out of 3, so it's because it's going to be on my own server, but it's not going to be in my block, okay? So you see what's happening is I'm updating the state of this thread channel, and by in order to do so, I have to include both my dime and his reply to my dime. So we're kind of building this state, this continually updated state, but by choosing to reply to his reply, I have to include his last reply. So you see, the person who's replying is always going to be +1 ahead. And so the state is just continually updated, and you can make huge, huge threads. And so even though all the replies after the original dime are not TSN references, right? Still, it's somewhat it's immutable between the two people, because now here's kind of another like little lightning aspect to it. If I if we have a series of back and forths in this thread channel, and LTC Joe decides, well, I want to delete, you know, one of my replies because I don't like it, and I want to like sort of try to change history. Even though on real Twitter you can do that, but on the TSN, you'll see you, well, obviously if it's in a block, you can't do it. But even, so the point is, even with this, he can delete any part of any reply in his own thread channel, but I have a record of it on my own state of the thread channel on my own server. So isn't that fucking interesting how that works? I think so. So this is just a really cool concept. Thread channels for the fourth type of dime, which is going to be reply dimes. So this was a big one. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back soon. Hope you're enjoying these beautiful days out and ignoring everything else that's fucking happening in the world. Peace.